All right. Good afternoon. Good day. Good morning. Good weekend. Good whatever time of day this is for you right now. For me, it's late afternoon, I guess. No, I don't know. What is like 5 in people's time? The sun is setting, so I guess like, man, that was terrible. What time is this? Evening? Is this like officially evening? Is this like what people call evening? Whatever. Hey, it's me, Lane, coming at you, today from, historic Boulevard Heights, I believe. This area is called, this is like, I guess, some part of, Grant Park, or maybe not. I think this is officially Ormwood? I don't know. I actually have no clue, where I'm coming to you from, or what time it is right now. But, anyways, so I just got back from a ride from my part of town, Southwest Atlanta, represent good old Adams Park, Cascade Heights, I guess. I don't know. Places. But yeah, just got back, I just got to my girlfriend's house. From a nice little ride around sunny old ATL today. It was a really beautiful day. Really, really beautiful day outside. So I decided to take advantage of it. And advantage was taken of the day. Cool stuff. Good vibes, cool, good vibes just going on, slight moments of, anxiety. I wrote down, one of the, back belly streets of downtown, that is, heavily, traveled by extraordinarily large buses, and at a certain point I heard a bus behind me, and for whatever reason the acoustics of this street made it sound as though the bus was directly behind me, and I felt it hitting me, like I felt this loud, thunderous, just like a thump throughout my entire soul, and it was rather odd, slightly fun, but mostly just terrifying, because I was just like, oh, this is it, the bus. But I was mostly just like, all right, this is what's happening. And so yeah, and so there's probably gonna be a jump there right at 4:20, it looks like. I was recording and heard some loud noises. It's apparently the house next to me. Not so pleasant times going on. Sounds like some kids getting some discipline. And so like I had a moment of just being like, what the fuck? Oh man, here it's already so early in the episode. A meta alert. Oh, first one, first meta alert of this episode. Those moments, the moments, just like this one, where it's just like, Vekin, you get drawn into life in the most visceral moments, when you're just open, and that can be nerve-wracking. It's just kind of like, I guess it feels like that touching the third rail of existence, and suddenly you're just like, you're jolted in, but the second that you're jolted in, you're also just kind of paralyzed by thought, and particularly in this moment, just, you know, hearing kids screaming because they are being quote unquote disciplined. I joked in a previous episode about commenting on other people's parenting. And sure enough, here's one of those moments. And I also just watched the Larry Wilmore show. I think they did I can't remember if it was the entire episode or if it was just a segment in the episode on disciplining your children, or I guess honestly, one of the guys on that episode, I can't remember his name. I think he's a satellite radio host, or something like that. Really live wire kind of guy. Anyways, he made a good point, and he said, you know, let's just call it what it is, hitting your children, you know, that kind of semantic, shift, really does, or is it shift, or just way to paint that picture? It is interesting, because, you know, it is hitting them, but it's called discipline. And I was someone who, you know, I got pretty lit up as a kid, you know. And now that I am older, I don't know, it's weird. It's weird to imagine someone trying to make sense to you by hitting you, or just I don't know, engaging, just smacking you, you know, like as an adult, it's interesting. Someone who, I guess I have a hyper focus on communication. That's just not something in my pile of tools that I believe communicate meaning or lessons, which is, I guess, supposed to be the point of discipline. Yes, because discipline is to teach. so it's strange, you know, like, how do you, like, isn't it weird? Is it like, it's something that happens, and it's something that even happens in adulthood, but, you know, it's like, it's one of those things that, I guess, you know, you can't really say which is the chicken or which is the egg. I think that mankind has always had we're animals. There's always been an essence of violence in us, primally. But in this day and age, you know, using violence as a means of communicating a point, it doesn't sync up, you know, with the age of Bluetooth, and the age of tin cans full of 300 or so people at any given time hurling through the air over your head, it seems anachronistic, if I use that word correctly, or even pronounced it correctly. I don't know, but it seems somewhat out of place. But I also don't have children, nor do I ever plan on having children. So I feel like I will just always be on the verge of having my very strong opinions. But you know, unless there are obviously just gruesome or terrible things happening, it's hard to say where one should intervene, because how do you judge the severity of what you see in an instance? I mean, like, of course, if you saw someone smashing their kid's head in public, like, you would intervene, but, you know, even just, you know, is hitting at all this, like, is it something that has, like, levels? Like, can go, like, 0 to 100? And what if, like, even if you start at 1, like, through just the laws of physics, that 1 continues to 100 at some point in the time-space continuum, in that... And in life somewhere, there's a ripple effect, kind of just as culminating in this world that we perceive today. Slow down. All right, welcome back to the Slowdown. Your weekly wheezing to your weekly reason to be patient, to slow down. To really take things in, you know, just remember, you don't gotta go so fast, especially if you're just heading towards the ground. And here I am, recording this episode of the Slowdown, on a Wednesday, but you will most likely not hear this until next Wednesday. I still don't know what I will end up doing with this this podcast thing, you know. Already I'm just I'm feeling I feel like I'm getting close to you all, you know. And at the time of me saying this, you're not actually listening, and you probably still aren't gonna listen for a long time now, but you're out there right now, and you know, we're forming this this relationship of understanding, and dope shit. Yeah, but anyways, so I wrote to Little Five today, Little Five Points in Atlanta, and kind of just like went for a walk, around the area, and I really like that area. I don't know. I like walking around area, like shopping areas and things, or just kind of like not necessarily touristy locations, but just areas that are kind of defined by like something that you do. For instance, like Little Five would be the place you go to abstractly buy things. It is a consumer center, but in particular, I guess you are buying alternativeness. It's a very eclectic area, and I say that knowing very well that it's a place like any other, but there's an interesting vibe over there, so I like to just go for a little strolls around and just stare at things, because it's nice to just look at things sometimes and just be like, oh yeah, that's cool, and then just keep walking on, you know. I feel like before the internet consumed my life, I really did just I used to go on really long walks and just stare at things, because I feel like that's essentially like what you do on the internet, just with a lot less walking. You know, like just kind of, you're just going around trying to find things that you like, and you just like look at them. Sometimes you buy things, but most of the time you just kind of want to look at things. And so that's kind of what walks are for me. Bike riding as well, but a little more useful as a just getting around type deal. Anyways, I feel like I'm trailing off. Am I trailing off, or am I actually establishing my, or am I putting the framework down for the larger picture of this particular episode? of the slowdown. No, I don't think so. I think I was just trailing off. No, but seriously. So I like walking around commerce centers, just because it's interesting to, I don't know, just to be in a place whose the purpose of a particular area or place is to buy something, to consume, like, just, you know, you see someone in a store, obviously they're trying to buy something, you know, they want to buy something, they are looking to buy something. That is essentially the only purpose to go to a store. It's not the same as the greater the world at large, where you just, you know, never know what someone's intentions are. I mean, like, you can always put together, like, contextually, of course, but just walking down the street is not the same as seeing a person in the context of a specific space, like a store. Does this make any sense? Yeah, probably not. Anyways, but yeah, that's that. Just there is something interesting about surrounding yourself with people who are geared towards a specific goal. Like, to be surrounded by that much desire, but specific desire, to consume. I don't know, it feels fun. Yeah, there's just like this excitement. I love going doing errands. They're just like going to grocery stores with if I'm not even buying anything, like, I like to just accompany people to stores to just walk around. Like, there's this liveliness, there's this like heightened feeling of I don't know, there's just something electric in the air. And shopping centers, and I think that actually is it might be what overwhelms some people. Like, not a lot of people even like going shopping, but that buzz, it's a high for me. I love it. Yeah, just like going to malls. And things like that, and just walking around. Let's see. I'm a like really boring person. Just, I kind of wish that, like, I could just instantly be like 70 or something, or just look 70, so that, you know, maybe my presence. Just like, I guess in my mind, where I'm constantly judging myself, no one probably ever notices, but just, you know, like, what the hell? Like, how can you get so much joy out of just, you know, walking around a store? You know, that's some real rocking chair old man shit. Maybe it's not, you know. Maybe that's just life. Maybe I got something, or maybe I'm just fucking boring. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Either way, I have fun. So, like, fuck it, you know. Anyways. I think that what I will call this episode will be our commercial lives. I guess I want that title, or I like the way that sounds, because it's like, you know, commerce, but like also like that gives me the ability to potentially talk about commercials later on in the episode. You know, it just really it really sets up some kind of desirable path or interesting path, maybe. I don't know, you'll be the judge of that at the end of all this. So yeah, that's the title we're gonna go with. We're gonna work with that, and you heard it here first, because you didn't hear it when you actually read the title of the episode. You heard it in your voice, but this is you're here. This is an insider moment where you're like, I wonder what, you know, like where the title of this episode came from. Yeah, like now you are here with me. You don't have to go through any like secret menus or anything like that to try and find the behind the scenes commentary or me scratching my head really close to like some sensitive sound equipment, something like that. Anyways, I feel like I should get on with it. Let's move beyond this little aside. So, the essence of what initially inspired this this episode is why buy? No, that wasn't it. What was the essence of this episode? The essence of this episode is I guess the way that I have come to view life today, as some kind of abstract maze of symbolic gestures and slogans that suggest this this kind of depth or value or importance, and yet at the end of the day, just kind of appear to be, you know, shallow or not fully formed scabs over that hole in our heart or our minds or wherever it happens to be located for you, that, you know, no matter how much Neosporin we try and rub on it, it never seems to close up or heal. And that, you know, that can be frustrating. It seems as though we are sold so much by so many forces, voices, entities, beings of desire, and yet there is a pretty large disconnect between rhetoric and reality, and I think it has a lot to do with the digital age. I mean, like, let's say that rhetoric and reality, you know, have actually always been at odds. But it's more so our ability today to experience the cycle of highs, and just blunt dissatisfaction almost instantly. It kind of heightens the presence of an anxiety that, you know, it exists in any situation involving life or another person, besides maybe sex, of course. But second meta alert. I think the problem is the system of I guess implied value that kind of sits at the helm of consumerism that makes it like consumerism, you know, like that contentious word or thing that really just aids in all the less than fantastic things that are I guess still a thing for so many, and it's like, okay, I understand brands and you know, like, and quality differences that you know, were somewhat relevant, you know, 50 to 100 years ago, but like today they've kind of just run amok in today's paradigm of more globalized commerce. The quality of the most mediocre brand today is still leagues beyond even necessary for purely consumptive reasons or purposes. I mean, like, that changes, I guess, when it comes to the real important things in life, like beer and internet speed. You know, the only things that are really holding peace and sensibility together in the modern social world. But, you know, for most other things, why is there so much of the same shit in different packages? The league between mediocre and poor quality today is so large. Like, how are shitty things even allowed to be made, especially in bulk? It makes no sense. I get it. You know, The wheels have been churning for a while. The machine is running, and we can't stop. We can't just stop it turning without, you know, old people flying off the face of the planet, and maybe even this plane of existence. I get it. I get it. But seriously, how are terrible things allowed to be made today, from the same limited resources that the mediocre to quote unquote great things are also made from? Particularly, the shitty things that imitate or try and parade themselves as things that are reliable in times, or even the potential need what is this, the I guess this is going to be the fourth or the third meta alert of this episode. Meta alert. But is this meta or just anecdotal? Anyways, I'm pissed off. I pulled out this Swiss Army knife. And I should say Swiss Army knife style. I don't actually know much about knives, so I'm not really sure if Swiss Army Knife is a brand or a style. But anyways, this is a little like silver Swiss Army Knife style imitation that my grandmother bought because, like me, she has a tendency to just drift off into imagination land when it comes to just seeing something and imagining the potential usefulness of it, of anything really, in our lives. But she's just, I guess, more likely to actually buy things. I pick up this thing because I'm, for whatever reason, not in range of my my free New Belgium bottle opener that I keep attached to my my keychain at all times. I grab this thing to open a $2 Trader Joe's IPA, and the bottle opener just kind of like buckles from the poor conception, you know, and nearly just like jacks the rest of the compartment where, you know, everything else is kind of tucked away, just jacking that, nearly just popping that whole thing open, you know, just being a complete failure of a useful thing, but I managed to avoid complete catastrophe by just kind of staring at it firmly with solid disappointment. Fucking bastard blade, this insult to ingenuity. It should have never been made, let alone used to extort some poor soul, my grandmother, of more than even a trillion Zimbabwean dollars. Is it Zimbabwean or Zimbabwean? I don't know. Whatever. Super inflated, worthless currency. Anyways, Yeah, so, so today we're gonna slow down on commerce, like in particular what our commercial lives have kind of just spawned as a result of socially implied values, I guess. Socially implied values. What if life, all the good and all the bad in the world, was the product of, the character of a person, infused into the fluids of orgasm, just kind of drenching those fertile portals into this place, coding, whatever the fuck comes through it. like think about it, how many terrible seeds are just sown a little bit too soon, I would advocate some movements or an encouragement to the people, for the people, for everyone to just read and masturbate more frequently, or whenever they feel like a terrible idea or mood coming on. that feeling, the feeling that you get right after you release by yourself, that feeling that just kind of ranges from, I guess, total ambivalence to like transcendently empty, spiritually, emotionally, physically, just like transcendently empty, but somehow totally content, totally being content with life. Is that just a guy thing? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like, of all the mechanisms, mechanisms. I swear I've had sex before. But anyways, all the different mechanisms of the vagina or vulva. I don't know if I have either one correct. But they probably act as some kind of purification devices, just for orgasms, I don't know, located near the legitimate rape sensors and whatnot. anyways, back to the larger point. What if that moment is actually for self-reflection, deep, true reflection and just contemplation of the human
condition, you know, of the nature of man and and other kin. And I don't know. John Mayer's waiting on the world to change, just playing in the back of your head for no reason in particular, other than it is. So I guess I set this up to be, hey, this episode is our consumer or our commercialized. So does consumerism have to be a bad thing? I mean, is there a balance between consumption and consciousness of what is actually being consumed? I guess, what is being consumed? Why do we buy things? Are we just, you know, in the words of Lupe Fiasco, I think he's the person who said this, but are we just chasing the cool?
Chasing the cool?
Yeah, like, are we just, is consumption just the process of being slaves to mindless impulses that have, been hijacked by the sirens of desire, calling our ships ashore? Are we doomed to desire by birth, or is desire something that is encouraged? I think it's a bit of both. I think life, for the most part, is really fun when you get your basic needs met. I think that just comes natural after we've you know, procured what we need for survival. Those necessary fruits of labor. Labor, like any work really, but especially those of survival. Eating, shelter, family, you know, things like that. And I think a large portion of what modernization has resulted in is pretty much easy survival, like in the most human sense. Well, to a certain point, I suppose. If you're fortunate to be born into even, the most meager means in a Western country, and I mean, like, I guess, at least just having a pot to piss in, at least having a pot to piss in, you kind of have a greater chance of benefiting from the age, somewhat more than other countries. And I say that, but we still have a terribly high, I guess, infant mortality rate. And I don't know why that is. For sure. Seems weird. But having a baby is actually like really, like I don't know. It's like one of those things I've never done. So like without having actually done research into it, I can't say for sure why that is the way that it is. Having a baby seems really intense. It's something that's so normal, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I mean, is it just me, or like for the most part, it just kind of goes unexperienced by most until I guess maybe it happens to them, or just like they're going through it, and like people come out of other people. This is an episode plus. No. I don't think I'll edit this part out. This is a pretty good second. This is not a second. This is maybe like what? The seventh? Eighth? I'm gonna go with eighth meta moment. Just because I had this fleeting moment of realizing that I'm a part of a large litter. I'm a part of a litter. I have five siblings, and I just started thinking about that in terms of like, oh, we all made it out. Some species, like shit's like really rough. I couldn't imagine like being I don't know, like I can't pick a specific example out right now of I guess the animal that like is eaten or just like doesn't make it like as humans we kind of just like cruise in here and just kind of like there's a lot of crying later but like it's not so bad like we got it pretty easy but then there are like some species who like kind of get here, and this is like the fucking beaches of Normandy, and these motherfuckers just like don't make it, like out the gate, like they see the light, and then like. Let's get real. Let's bring it down. Let's be real here. We got all this life, we got all this hope, we got all these dreams. But there seems to be Let's say a lot of desire. Oh, that streetcar, that streetcar called desire. I don't know. I was trying to summon a voice in my head. I used to be so good at summoning appropriate characters to say things, and now they just instantly like turn into fucking what's his face from Sling Blade. Can't remember his name in the movie or in real life. Billy Bob Thornton, I think that's who I'm thinking of. All right, Dan. There should be a co-host to maybe rescue me from these and intense monologues that go on, like wanting this to actually be a conversation, but kind of like having to have it with myself is just like really weird. So we're alive, and full of hope, and full of desire, and we're here. We made it. We didn't get gunned down during the D-Day of life. I mean, maybe some of us are fortunate to have not been gunned down during the D-Day of life. But for some people, it's a real possibility. Anyways, not to sidetrack again, but we're just like wanting shit is, or just desire, not just shit. I feel like when you say just like wanting shit, that just only extends to the material world. But also just like wanting, just wanting. I'm sorry. All right, I won't do that again. But just that's essentially just the backbone of essentially life for a lot of people. Which is pretty intense, on like a human level, but also interwoven into our social, political, existential field of reality for like what we're all going through, like 70. Why do I like try guessing numbers? I feel like I do this thing, and it's probably like what everyone does secretly. But like I hear numbers and they like stick in my head, and I'm like, oh my God, like 70. But like okay, so like I 70% of like our like economy, and I hate talking about things that I know very little, but like I've been trying to understand what the economy is like on like a conceptual level. I feel like it makes sense, but it's just like one of those things, like I know it's tied in with real life, like that's like one of those things, like you're growing up, fucking the economy, like things, like they get real. But anyways, not to trail off into where like what I've been trying to figure out. Let's just say 70. I've heard the figure 70% of our economy. This huge thing. This thing that is big. This thing that you hear a lot about, and we all have a relationship with, but you know, kind of becomes like a distant old relative or whatever at a certain point. Ancestor, general older figure in your life, something like that. Anyways, but yeah, 70% of ours, and I say ours, I believe this is what I was hearing, is that 70% of the US economy depends on consumption, essentially. We are a consumer, what is called a consumer economy. And when I hear something like that, I say like consumer economy, I would imagine that all, like, it just sounds like, you know, all you know, economies should, from what my very limited understanding is, like, isn't that a point of an economy? Like, you know, to consume, like, you know, like, why should, but I suppose, like, that's one, that is, a consumer economy is, like, just, you know, like, that essentially means, that's, like, your thing, I guess. Like, it's just like, this is, that's like a thing for like your country or whatever. I guess you could say country, or yeah, country, even, like, I guess getting down to it, like cities, whatever. But like, so we're a consumer economy, so I guess that, you know, like that's our thing. And there are other places that have economies where I just assume that everyone's, you know, buying shit. Everyone is buying stuff, but like just at different levels. So there are other places, I guess, that produce more shit or whatever. But anyways, to have can like to be in a consumer economy, I guess that just means like at the backbone of our reality here, in this consumer economy, and what supports, I guess, just these giant concrete villages that we live in today, is consumption, just constant wanting and desiring things, like Christmas every day levels, and then like mega Christmas at the end of the year Christmas. That's just the, yeah, that's intense. To think about just wanting that much stuff, or just having to like our thing is needing there to be things. Like, we like are a thing, but we're also thing producers. I'm gonna take another swig here. I like to drink IPAs, not just because I'm an insufferable asshole, but because hops serve or experienced by the body as a kind of a phytoestrogen, and there's just something so just relaxing about the quality of drunk that you get from an IPA than I experience from any other beer. It's like
I love you.
anyways, so I have a room full of things. Things that you'd imagine make a room a quote unquote room, and the necessary and in the like necessarily comfortable kind of way. And I look around, and pretty much everything has been found or passed down to me. With the exception of a lot of the clothes. But I love my like I love everything that I own. They are these material things, that comfort me at the moment. I don't know, just stuff is cool, things are even nicer. But like, what is it all? So this desk, for instance, it's a roll top desk. Beautiful, beautiful, roll top desk. And I found it in Mar Vista on the curb, and I had the gods must be crazy moment. It was like I had like a near spiritual experience finding this desk. And just the amazing people that helped bring it into my life, including the like the asshole who stole my bike's back wheel, that resulted in all of the events that led up to me finding this. It was a true just flow of events that went from really shitty to just having a beautiful fucking roll top desk. Shouts out to Julia and Sean. Much respect. They're like this is a real fucking roll top desk. It's beautiful. I'm sure, when the person who originally bought it first
Got it. It was probably, it probably cost anywhere like upwards of like $600. I'm just gonna throw that number out there. I don't know if the price is right. I don't know if the price is right. I don't know how to price things. But like I paid nothing, but I paid for Sean's gas to get it back to my place. So yeah, it costs nothing in the grand scheme of having this fucking beautiful desk. And I guess I see this as a perfect time to plug I watched a Vice documentary recently on the Pacific Ocean gyres. I think they're called gyres, gyres. I can't remember how to say it. This, I should do more research and things before I do these podcasts, but I'm enjoying the kind of like flow of the moment recording so far. This is, I will never be taken seriously. Anyways, so like I watched this documentary. Because I like informative shit, I like informative and entertaining shit, and also at one point liked Gilligan's Island. I still like Gilligan's Island, and so now you know that about me. And so if you haven't, anyway, if you haven't heard of the gyres, or maybe you have, but maybe you've heard the dramatized version of it being this is it Texas or California? I can't remember if it's compared to Texas or California, but either of these state-sized masses of floating garbage in the Pacific. But anyways, it's actually much more terrifying in reality, hyperboles aside. Like instead of it being like an actual, I think most people imagine it or kind of it's explained as being this actual fit like mass like island is that was actually the way that I initially heard of it is being an island of garbage. So I'm just kind of like imagining this like post-apocalyptic floating wasteland in the middle of the ocean. But it's actually just it is either California or Texas sized in the space that it takes up, but it's more of a slush zone. Jump into this segment. Let me introduce to the world my beautiful lady partner in crime, not my
Not the deal.
girlfriend.
Just your friends.
Just my friend.
According to hometown employees.
According to employees and parents across the
You're
land.
a dear and good platonic friend.
My ambiguously nice person.
Lauren!
Okay, I want to go back to the painting, actually.
You're right. Well, she's showing me a very beautiful painting she's doing.
I'm about to wipe that off.
Personally, I feel like you've done a lot. Like, I feel like you've taken it to the max. You've seen a lot, and you've added a lot. And personally, I don't even know. Like,
I don't even know.
Like, I don't even know anymore. And like, I'm looking at it, and I'm just like,
do you feel like him?
Like, earlier I was looking at it, and I was just like seeing it as like this guy like fucking putting his hand through somebody's eyeball, and then like different layers of the eyeball just kind of like popping out, and like fucking three dimensions and four dimensions just like holding the moon, and then like now it's the sun, but then also this is like his eyes are actually popping out, and so it's just like, you know, there's a lot of fucking like, now it's just like, I feel like you like subconsciously want to make that into a jellyfish or something, or like you were channeling some kind of jellyfish like organism.
I was trying to do cloth.
I could see that.
Or like, you know, like see-through sheer, you know? But I think I fucked up the middle part. I think it's a little too literal, like too cartoon. Everything else looks actually relatively realistic.
I feel like you say, like, oh, I fucked this up, and then, like, you do a little, and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, man, no, it was this amazing thing. Oh, my God.
I'll be back.
Thanks for being here, and being an amazing first guest on this.
My pleasure. I don't even think I really talked about anything.
I think we talked about a lot. You know, like it's just, it's like really deep, right?
Yeah, art's pretty deep. That's what we talked about.
I love you so much.
So you love me?
Yeah.
Aww. 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 Don't put this intimate moment online.
Can I put this intimate moment online? I feel like this accurately captures like a real moment between
but
us.
The one who said we probably shouldn't put our intimate lives online.
And I meant like we shouldn't record. We should have just, like, I don't know. I feel like you were just like, yeah, no, like, if you want to record me, just, like, record me whenever. And it's like, no, that would.
Okay, first of all, it's not.
I'm sorry. Honestly, that's how everyone sounds. That wasn't just you. No, it's not sexist. That's how everyone sounds in my head to me. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm not saying I'm a good person. That never, like, that wasn't, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Okay. She totally cares.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to figure out this shit.
Okay.
I've totally moved on.
Yeah,
who are you again?
I don't know. I'm
How
sorry.
Much do I owe you?
I'll be leaving now. So I guess getting back to the show that was actually happening, if there was a show happening, I don't actually know. I don't know what this thing is yet, but welcome back to the Slowdown. I'm your host, Lane Williams, and we were here last talking about the Pacific Gyre. You know, that state-sized. What I left off as being a slush of garbage, mostly tiny bits of plastic. This is like a giant patch in the ocean, just full of tiny bits of all the things that, you know, we don't think just go anywhere, but don't really think goes like anywhere, you know, like that's all going to say that just kidding, I don't actually have a larger point. That was a setup to bring up the fact that I feel like, you know, my room is some kind of crazy analogy for the world of consumption. I'm just kidding, sorry. Anyways, this desk of mine, you know, it's like a large piece of trash. Because, you know, it was tossed out like it was trash. It was left to the vultures of the curb. And this is another guest appearance by LP.
Whoop, whoop.
LPZ.
Sound effects.
She's my personal soundboard for tonight. I might not do so many weird edits to this one. I'm gonna keep this.
Sound like super organic. A little bit behind the scenes, but also be like super dynamic.
I think that's pretty appropriate for episode 3, because then that's like, it's like you gotta get like, you know, like literal first one. You gotta be like left brained, you know, and you gotta be like right brained. It's like one, so you can be like.
Look, I'm gonna give you some beliefs, and then the third one, you gotta be like, hey, I'm a human.
You're so right.
Yeah.
I like.
Yo, both sides of my brain individually.
Good like, for you, you should.
Am I having a stroke right now?
Oh my god, dude, did you hear about that woman who just like had a bunch of strokes and she like tripped and she was just like, life.
Oh, I think you're talking about my stroke of insight.
Oh, but my god, are you like, are you stroking my insight right now? It's like literally right there. Oh my god.
Taylor PhD. Yeah, I have that book. Yeah. I have like 10 copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a reinterpretation of a Portlandia episode, possibly. Or maybe like, you know, like.
We're pretty low budget. I don't know.
Maybe
let's
like
not aspire to be Portlandia. Let's just be Atlanta.
To be,
you know,
Portlandia.
Let's.
But I thought Portlandia was God. Like that's all you can be. If you want to be anything, you have to be Portlandia.
Kanye West is God.
Yeah, but then that means like Beyonce is the goddess. So like,
what are you?
I thought we were just talking about all the people we pray to.
Oh. What is trash? You know, like this desk. It's basically in perfect condition, and you know, I've since restored it, and like now, you know, like you know, it's a beautiful desk. It's got that like real craftsmanship. Like I don't know much. I feel like I can look at it and be like, they really don't make this like the, you know, they used to. Like I put together tons of IKEA shit, but like this is a gen, like this is a desk, like this is, you know, like that the shit that you would see on TV. And I think that's what I subconsciously, like, I want it. But, like, it's also, it's beautiful. I don't know. It's beautiful, but there's also that air about it that, you know, like, this was a desk, you know, for the simpler times. This was the desk, you know, back in the day. But, like, this desk is, like, back in the day is probably, you know, like, when my papers couldn't even, you know, we couldn't even sit at desks and read, you know, like, I don't know why that was relevant, but, yeah, genuine craftsmanship, genuine fucking, like, this is a beautiful piece of furniture, and it's not just furniture, it was a genuinely, like, usable desk. Like, I fucking use this desk, and you know, I love it. I would, like, I have wanted something like this, for a good portion of my existence here, I guess. It's kind of strange to look at it and realize that essentially in the sea of commerce, this beautiful fucking roll top desk is wood pulp, you know, like, just kind of part of that slush created by the loss of the cool, you know, like the kids or the value, whatever, you know, Genesis thought or concept, you know, spawned its existence, besides the, you know, I guess, craftsmen who put it together, but, you know, it was just, it's, you know, fully a fully functional rehabilitable, I don't even know if that's a word. It should be, but anyways, like, you know, it's just still, it was a useful desk, just tossed out, like, you know, some kind of glad bag, or it's a fucking beautiful desk. Just, like, you know, whatever cool or new desk feel may have expired, I doubt that you know, the real material value of the desk has ever been returned in full. I'm talking about, you know, the wood, I guess. The trees. Forgive me, trees. You know, that went into making it, and likely others. I mean, this desk is it's really nice, but I doubt it's one of a kind. It is a really nice desk, but there are definitely probably others like it out there. Hopefully being loved by somebody else. I don't know. Maybe, like, I'm making a bunch of dire assumptions. But it just seems as though likely the resources used to put this beautiful object together have never really been replenished, you know. And I wouldn't say that this desk is like older than 40 years, and even that's a stretch. It takes something like, what, 30 years for a tree to fully mature? Maybe less, I don't fucking know. But the ones likely to be farmed for actual wood, I don't think people spend time plucking down the young ones, little toothpicks. That gap in thought or consideration, that void between material that is produced either from necessity or desire. But that void just kind of sits at the center of the human condition, where markets and trends kind of just explode into technicolor socks and like social cryptocurrencies. all the while we're just reaching, trying to extract meaning from the specter of meaninglessness, like some kind of homunculus shaped by burning want, and just comes creeping out from the other side of the void, casting some kind of grim, embarrassingly clunky, awkward shadow over the natural world. Pouring out of that void, it's like a whole pack of a whole like horde of radically insatiable nematodes leashing onto whatever existential auras surrounding the material world, hoping to transmute that ephemeral glow into something more substantial, like self-esteem.
got an Avedon. They must have killed that thing. Well, the leaves started falling, the snake started crawling. Must have given her a diamond ring. Eve said, Adam, go sleep in the crib. Adam said, Eve, I'm going to sleep in my rib. When Adam and Eve was in the garden of Eden, surely must